football on Off the Ball.
That was the main thing that when I finished playing football. In other words, you're bringing the knowledge that you have over years of football to people who watch football.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #thetoughest for more.
Well, hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, and myself, Tommy. That was fun.
It was fun. It was fun. And you know what? It was a great bloody weekend. What a weekend, I must say.
Shit weekend. That was a terrible weekend. Change the rules back.
I think the football is just, it's just 10 out of 10 at the moment. To get four games like that in the quarterfinals, like going back a couple of years, a lot of the quarterfinals were right off. For the four of them to be in the melting pot for large spells, good quality football, big crowds, loads of people watching on TV, loads of discussion, talking points. I must say I was delighted. And topped off, obviously, by Kerry's performance, which was scintillating. And all ye haters, especially Tommy Rooney, calling Kerry soft.
Never said it.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You said soft. Poor Kerry with a couple of injuries. I'll tell you what, you disrespected the kingdom. And it'll come back. It'll come back to bite you, yeah. And in fairness to Meath, they did another great performance. Fair play to them. And through to the semis. But you got it wrong.
Who,
do you not agree, Tom?
I'll take my.
Who got it?
You said it wrong. You said it wrong, Matt. Well, I'm just going to say ye. I can't actually remember what you said, Paddy. But Tommy definitely said Armagh by 10.
I did not actually say that. Not at all.
But Tommy, when you were on the high horse calling Kerry soft, I was muted. I didn't agree with it. I think you show a bit of respect to those lads. I didn't think they'd beat Armagh, and I did not see that performance coming. Like, to be fair, and Jack O'Connor's comments after, I was actually loving that. Like, if you can't go on a bit of a victory lap after getting all the shit he was getting, like, it was pure spite. It was beautiful stuff. Like, it was great.
It was glorious.
But I'd say they were driven mad. I'd say, you know, they must have thought, if you think about it, fair enough, they lost last year's semi-final to Armagh. But since then, and even then, they could have and should have maybe won the game. You could argue with the goal chances they had and the mistake by Shane Ryan for Cambridge's goal. Since then, they've won the National League, won the Munster Championship. They were in the quarterfinal. There was literally nothing else they could have done bar beating Meath. And like the writing off they got, I'd say it drove them insane. Because in Shaun O'Shea's interview after the game, which he spoke so well, I thought he looked like a solid leader, great character. You could just hear the hurt or the passion in his voice, which I think resonated with everyone. It was just a great day for the Kerry lads, I thought.
Yeah. Can I speak?
Absolutely, Tommy. A fellow semi-finalist. You can speak.
It's going to be a long show, lads.
I got a little bit of heat in the tunnel underneath the Hogan stand in and around the post-match of the Kerry Armagh game. Nobody in particular, but there was definitely the odd murmuring towards things that I may or may not have said. But my biggest worry was that things that I had said were getting mixed up with things that Joe Brawley said. So I just want to clear up that I absolutely didn't say.
Too similar voices.
And that's not a good place to be. But what I will say is that I'm waiting on my check in the post. Because I fully stand by every single word I uttered on that pod. And I listen back to make sure that I didn't say something that I didn't mean. And what I said was there was a softness about how Kerry approached that game. And a softness in the game. Because they weren't ready for it. They weren't ready for me that day.
I think you were saying they were soft in general. I don't think you put it down to that game.
Did you listen back?
Yeah, I did. I remember at the time thinking this is complete horseshit, but I did listen to it.
No, you thought it was complete horseshit when I equated the value of the players that Meade were missing with the value of the players for Kerry were missing.
To be honest, Tommy, the whole argument was fucking horseshit.
I've been proven correct. Look at Kerry, you've gone on now to produce. Are you telling me that we saw the real Kerry in Tullamore?
You have two victories there over the weekend. You're into the semi-finals. Like, I thought you'd be a bit more positive about
Paddy, we'll get back to you in a minute, buddy. Don't worry. I'm talking to James here. I have one question for James. Are you telling me we saw the real Kerry in Tullamore?
No, absolutely not. But I always say it's when your life is on the line that the real team comes out. And that's why I was so impressed by the Kerry lads. They played
it was incredible, yeah.
with so much heart and passion. Every yeah. ball that went up for grabs was like their lives depended on it, which is how you have to play in these games to get through. And you know what? Maybe being doubted and being that challenge being put to them, it made them get to that level. Maybe it needed something like that to get them to that level. And I hope they know they stay there, because if they do, they have a right good chance. But like, you don't want to go from hero to zero and let that be your great performance of the year. That has to be a building block.
Yeah, I'd say Tyrone, Kerry, All-Ireland semi-final. There'll be no resting on any laurels or trying to get fueled by misplaced hurt again. Like, they will have their own system in place to get ready for that game. That's going to be a really, really good semi-final, isn't it?
It is. And we were at the Dublin-Tyrone game. It was very interesting. And do you know what? They play so differently to Kerry. I think the Kerry try and play the fast front foot. Tyrone really took the sting out of Dublin early. And I thought they played a very tactically cute game where they kind of had the Dubs in their hand for the whole game. And they were just waiting for that spell, that late time that they were just going to go for the juggler. And they did. And their bench kicked on and put the Dubs to the sword. And like, Dublin didn't have anything. I know they brought on Conn, but their attack completely malfunctioned, Paddy. Like, they only got 16 points. 16 points with the new rules in Croke Park is a poor return. We said it. You have to be hitting the mid-20s.
Clifford and Sean O'Shea between them outscored Dublin.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? So it was... I actually thought... This is not... sour. I thought the game was bad quality-wise from both teams. I thought the first 20 minutes of that second half.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, okay, these are two of the supposedly the best teams in the country. So if it's raining, you should still be able to execute basic enough skills. Like, sort of, I thought the 15, 20 minutes after a time from both sides was poor. And all Dublin, I'm saying it kind of all season, just lack of depth and lack of quality is what's come back to get. You can't, like Jimmy, you said, you can't score 16 points in these rules and expect to win games like that. And the funny thing about it, all the question marks all year, and to be honest, I must admit, where I felt Dublin would eventually be caught by someone in the championship would be defensively. Defensively, they were all right. Full back line kind of held up quite well. Davey Byrne did a great job on McCurdy. He gets taken off.
Yeah.
Murch did really well with Derek Canavan. Derek Canavan kind of double run out of gas. Canavan clips on a couple of scores at the end. But defensively, I thought Dublin were actually okay. Bar, just two pointers, just passive in that area. It was just, you know, Peter Hart, anytime Dublin traditionally played Tyrone, they've had a man marker on Peter Hart, John Small, but they didn't this year, and he kicks two big two-pointers. But I thought in the first half, Dublin were probably slightly the better team. And when they moved the ball, they counter-attacked quickly. They were causing trouble for that Tyrone defence, but then just missing shots again. Four balls dropped short, forcing some shots in the first half. And then the second half, the big thing with Dublin, and we said it all year, they don't have a two-point shooter.
Mm.
You know, and if you don't, you look across the eight teams that were playing this weekend, if you haven't got a two-point shooter, it just makes it far easier to shut down your attack. Tyrone could afford to be drop off a little bit. You know, what Dublin would have done for a Brian Fenton or Paul Mannion at any stage, but particularly under these rules where someone can just clip the ball over the bar from 55 yards easily. They didn't have that threat.
Is that not a bit bizarre though? Like, and I mean it in the sense that, could that have been cultivated across the season?
Well, I think the teams, honestly, at the start of the season,
have
I
valid,
believe,
from 55 metres over the bar.
But okay, Paddy, I genuinely think maybe. teams didn't think they needed the two-pointers. I tell you, it was the case.
It's critical.
At the start of the year, if you think back, I remember McStay had an interview and he was going through the actual stats of the two-pointers. Do you remember that? He was in the dressing room, or was in this...
There was a thing around Kerry as well. Kerry hadn't scored them for ages, Jimmy. Yeah. It was like, are they going for this? And it's like, they're so crucial in these. Like, games are so tight. And the momentum swing it gives teams. Like, Jesus Christ.
Tyrone's first three scores are two-pointers.
Yeah, but Tyrone weren't going well. The two-pointer was going to be an issue. Teams honestly thought that the 2 point stats gave the impression early in the year, because it was a wet ball, a heavy ball, a windy ball, that there was only so many shots being taken and even a small percentage going over. And then it got to like the later stages of the league and maybe into the championship, and suddenly there were huge swings in games over the 2 pointers. And now they're like the main thing. That, yeah. I think it kept Tyrone in the game in the first half, because Dublin owned the ball. Yeah. Owned the ball in the first half, but just couldn't get enough scores because Tyrone were chipping over easy twos.
If Dublin didn't score, they looked at the most dangerous when they turned Tyrone over, and to be fair, they did work very hard in that first half. They got some brilliant turnovers at times, and then it just kind of made it inexplicable then that Tyrone would just cruise up for McGeary, Peter Hart for 2 pointers, Peter Teague as well. When Dublin kicked the ball and transitioned really fast, they were dangerous. Okay, they again, story of the season, lacked a bit of efficiency in front of the post. But any time they were held up and they went into the slow transition, we've seen this with Galway yesterday as well, they just had no punch from deep. Tyrone are looking at it, Dublin are hand passing, playing across in front of them. They've no 2 point threat, so Tyrone could just kind of sit there and let Dublin play across in front of them. And then they'd know the cavalry wasn't coming up the pitch, you know, with Jack McCaffrey or James McCarthy, someone coming up, flying up the pitch to break the line. And Dublin just didn't have that either. It was just like maybe they were working so hard off the ball in terms of trying to get back and turn Tyrone over. But when you look at that second half, we've seen glimpses of it against Derry up in Uri as well. If Dublin didn't score after first phase attack, they looked pretty blunt. Conn comes in. To be honest, seeing it, he didn't warm up initially before the game. You thought weren't going to see him at all. So it was a boost to get him on the pitch. Operate maybe 50, 60%. Just taking a risk to try and get him out there. He actually gets a point, but the Dublin attack is probably where it fell down most on Saturday, which is the surprising thing, because that was the one area of the pitch throughout the season you felt that they had that. They still had top quality players there, but it just hasn't transpired that way. So it's tough to feel. They can have no complaints. You look at Tyrone coming in, like McElhone, bringing a player like that who's so direct, who's so lively. Rory Canavan thrives when the game is opened up, there's a bit more space. So Dublin just did not have that kick. And they don't, unfortunately.
I think that was the way that Tyrone wanted the game to play. I think they would have been happy it being level, maybe one down, two down, getting these fellas on. Like McElhone looked so lively when he came on. So
dangerous.
Quick. So, and just at that point he got where he just got it. It was slow attack. He was outside the 45. He put the ball in his toe and looked. And it was Kilkenny that was facing him. But it didn't really matter who was going to face him. There was like a 10-yard gap. He was going to get enough pace up to go around him. And then he clips over a lovely score. And just the pace that the subs had. It's so hard to do it when you're tired.
We spoke with that, Jimmy. Like, the one thing you want from a sub coming on the forwards, it's just speed. Even if you haven't maybe got them the best quality, the end product, if you are just a direct runner, we've seen with David Neary for Mayo play well in a couple of games in the group stages as well, coming on with 10, 15 minutes to go, if you've got just raw pace, it causes havoc for opponents. Now, McElhone has the bit of class to be able to finish it as well. What a weapon he's going to be. Kerry need to have some sort of plan to deal with this guy, because you'd imagine he's going to get the final quarter, 15, 20 minutes off the bench as well. But Pascal was a big loss for Dublin as well. You know, he was an all-star 2 years ago and he's just had a bad season disrupted by injury. And Dublin, years gone by, it didn't matter who was injured. You know, it was just the next guy, the next player was going to come through. They couldn't afford to lose players like that. And then obviously not Conn as well. So I thought they might sneak to a semi-final this year. I never thought they were going to win the whole thing, but it's still just a disappointing flat way to finish the season for them. And like I say, the 16 points, it's just, you can't really defend that. You can't expect to win these games.
Paddy, possibly not surprising as well. Desi Farrell called an end to his time as manager. Like, it's a double whammy, because it means that there's going to be a winter of trying to figure out, much like we know Mayo, Roscommon, Sligo in the last week as well, they've got to figure out what they're going to do in this next step. It's obviously a new era of Gaelic football. So, Desi, do you want to talk to us just a little bit about what, because obviously what a legend in Dublin football and what he's done in the last 6 years?
Yeah, do you know, it was surprising just, he'd said he told the players in the county board at the start of the year. So in one way, you would hope that the county board had been working away in the background, preparing to have a successor, that they'd been given plenty of notice. No one had heard that outside the camp, which was good. They're obviously a very tight group. It's a tricky one. And I said this on air after the match as well, that whatever about, we're talking about younger players coming through and probably a lack of success. Not probably, there has been a lack of success at underage level. The coaching side of things has kind of been pretty set in Dublin for the last 15 years or so. Like I said, like Pat Gilroy was the last kind of left field appointment back in 2009. He was still playing. He won the All-Ireland Club with Vincent's that year. So it was kind of, Jesus, that kind of came out of nowhere. But after that, we knew Jim was going to be the next manager. He had success with the minors and under-21s. And then Desi was building up his CV, winning minor and under-21 All-Irelands in the background. He was going to be the man when Jim finished. So there's no one like that within Dublin GAA at the minute. So we're talking about changes. The county, John Costlow has been county board chairman for the best part of 20 years as well. Unbelievable period of success. He stepped away last year as well. So just a lot of change happening very quickly within Dublin GAA from being a pretty serene position. Like All-Ireland Champions was 2 years ago. It's
amazing how quickly it can happen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, there's a little bit of talk, right? And I'm just looking around at some of the websites here, and you know, Jared Brennan is obviously a name that's been touted 10 to 11 in one place. Declan Darcy obviously was involved with the Dublin backroom team just a little further back there. Mick Bohan, who would have coached the Dubs in your time and obviously been involved with the women's team and other inter-county teams and DCU. Jason Sherlock is in around 7-1. Funny, Jim Gavin and Pat Gilroy, I can't imagine Jim Gavin going back at this stage.
No.
And then 16-1, the Dublin under-20 manager, Kieran Farley, and Paddy Andrews.
What?
Have you something to tell us, buddy? What's going on here? Should we be putting a bit of money down here? This is
my last show.
Is this our Christmas bonus?
I was sent those odds by a few people today, and I nearly crashed the fucking car. I have no idea what would justify me being on a list like that. I've never coached a team in my life. And the fact that that is out there shows probably just how sparse the candidates are for this. I think just behind me in 18-1 was Damien Duff, and then Roddy Collins. Roddy Collins was coming in at 20-1. Roddy and David Moyes were tied at 22-1, I think. So
where's Philly McMahon? He nearly had the dairy job 6 months ago.
Jesus, yeah. I don't know where Philly's gone on that list.
I wonder if
I will not be
Philly
there.
Philly and Jer?
No, Jer is the obvious one. It's kind of, like, as the bookie say, he's the favourite because he has done a really good job at Loud.
Yeah.
Kind of think, is that the ceiling for that Loud team, or does he stay involved there and do a third year?
What about Robbie Brennan?
Hold on a second. Robbie Brennan.
What's a more attractive job at the minute? If you're a coach, you know, you've got to see, okay, Dublin Gaelic Football Manager is a massive role. It's very doom and gloom. There's thousands of players in Dublin. So Dublin still have loads of players, but there's no doubt it is a period where we've got to bring through a new generation of younger guys, and that takes time. There is not, always say this, with young players coming in, unless you're a David Clifford or someone like that, it takes you 2 or 3 years, maybe even more, to get to the level of competing to win All-Ireland. So there's probably a period of hurt coming for Dublin here where it's going to be very difficult to see them winning All-Ireland. Yet the expectation, just because of tradition and recent successes, is supporters and people in WGA are still going to expect whoever gets this job to be able to put the best foot forward and compete to some degree in trying to win an All-Ireland. So it's a really, really tough job. And you're looking going, Dublin have always kind of gone for someone from inside the county. Like I said, there's no underage candidate there jumping around. The best club manager, the most dominant team, was Kimco Crokes. Robbie Brennan's gone to Mead. And you look at where Mead are at, the young players, they just seem like, crazy to think this, because this was not the case coming into the season. They seem like they're further ahead of where Dublin are at. And the other thing where Dublin, you know, what players are still going to be there? For the last 4 or 5 years, every time a season finished with Dublin, there was question marks over X, Y, and Z. There's still some exceptional players there that were part of our great team. And if you're going in as Dublin manager, first you're going, well, are these guys still going to be involved or not? And we don't know. So it's it's a massive job. It has its opportunities as well, but it's fucking hell. It's a tough gig as well.
So what I'm hearing is you're interested.
Not in a million years. But lads, I can barely fucking get time to do these podcasts. Never mind.
But we'll keep you,
manage a senior inter-county thing. But
yeah, we'll keep you on board, Paddy. Don't worry. You've still got a job.
But it is a big appointment. It needs
huge.
Massive.
It needs to be freshened up. The senior job, behind the scenes, the underage teams. It's a little bit of a reset for Dublin GA.
Speaking about freshening things up and given the manner in which the championship has gone so far this year, I just want to make an offer to you. Would you like to host the pod for the next couple of weeks? Given that Meath and Kerry are still left in the championship and I seem to be pissing off every other county involved.
You couldn't be a pundit though, Tom, because you're so off the walls with your comments. It's just...
You've no balance, T.
Hey, I think I've been pretty much on the money all season, boys. I think I've been on the money all season. James, we obviously did the game on 98FM, the Dublin-Tyrone game, and it ended up being a funny sort of a game. Earlier on that day, we were watching Dublin, Donegal and Monaghan.
Yes.
Excuse me. And, like, that was a game of two halves because Monaghan, especially in the second quarter of the first half, completely took apart Sean Patton and Donegal's kick out.
Mm-hmm.
And they racked up a score of 115 in the first half. They easily could have had 220, looking back at some of the misses that they had too.
Yeah.
So Donegal actually go and repeat it in the second half to score the 115, but they starved Monaghan of any oxygen. But talk to us about what Monaghan did so well in that first half against Donegal.
I think they played front foot football, attacking, expressed themselves. And as you said, they put Patton under serious pressure. The theme of the weekend nearly was that it was a case of if you can get on top of the opposition goalie, it gives you a foundation to really build sustained attacks and do damage. And also, like, Monaghan will be kicking themselves. They came out at halftime and didn't get going at all, right? That was one issue. But the second issue was they actually left a lot after them in the first half. McCarville missed two big shots in the first half. Micheál Bannigan dropped one short. And I played great in that half, but dropped one short. Conor McCarthy missed a couple, but they weren't even that difficult. You see, if you're going to get that purple patch, you have to put them to the sword. Now, they went in 7-up. But I mean,
7-up, Jimmy, is not bad.
It's substantial. No, it's substantial. And they were outstanding. But I'm saying that could have been, it could have been a whole lot worse for Donegal. So they kind of let them off the hook.
Very flat.
At just before halftime, Manning have a very clever attack. Hooter goes, set play, get Began up, and he throws an absolute outrageous outside of the right, miles over the bar from miles out. It was just phenomenal. It was like a statement score, right? So they're 7-up. And instead of running into the dressing room and, you know, celebrating, Andy Moran brings him in, settles him down. At that stage, I was like, these fellas expected this. Like, they've watched Donegal. They know that they have their number, maybe, that Donegal are going to be tired. They look set. And I was like, at that stage, I was thinking, Monaghan are going to do this.
Yeah.
So for them to come back out in the second half and not perform, I mean, it must be gut-wrenching for them. But the intensity that Donegal came out in the second half was night and day. I think Fitzmaurice said it. Yeah, but Fitzmaurice said it in the commentary.
Donegal a bit of credit as well. Like, it was a phenomenal second half performance because you're right, the feeling in the stadium was that Began score is like, it's one of those scores going, geez, it's their day today. You know, that would have been such a kick in the bollocks for Donegal because five isn't about to go seven down and they just had not been at the races. Like, all over the, like, Langan, who's one of the players of the championship, wasn't in the, touched the ball. Michael Murphy,
no.
Make it like bad misses, handling errors. You're going, what is going on with Donegal? Is the 6 day thing, has that seeped into the team? Because it was flat, and you know the energy, the intensity they play at, and you're just thinking, there's always one upset. Is this the one? And Monaghan going to pull this out of the bag? Like, but the second half performance by Donegal was exceptional. You thought it would be the period, that second half would be the performance of the weekend until we seen Kerry yesterday. But the Monaghan press on Patton as well, like, that was ballsy in the first half. They went four in the full forward line, four and a half forward line, four up in midfield. You know how dangerous that is with someone like Patton, who they played Mayo in the fucking Hyde and he kicked to the opposition 21. You know, so to be that brave to push all the way up and they got the rewards off it, it couldn't have went better for Monaghan in that first half. You know, Andrew Woods with kicking scores of a lifetime out there. So it was an unbelievable performance.
The double-double. I'm right in saying that Began pushed up quite... You would have been right down by pitch side. Yeah. You might have seen it. Began pushed up behind the 4-4-4. So he was kind of blocking off like that,
high, that risk
high ball over the top. Yeah. Can I ask you, Paddy? Because Jim McGuinness was at pains to point out a few things in the press conference afterwards. He obviously, after the press conference ended, wanted to make it very, very clear that the Donegal management of players had absolutely nothing to do with the six-day turnaround statement. Mm. So he wanted to make sure that that was out there in the media because he didn't think it was very fair to Monaghan. He made sure he got that in there. But just before that, he was quite interested in talking about the fact that, and he was very clear on this, he says that Donegal didn't change anything in the second half, that they expected what Monaghan brought because Monaghan play a really unique way, is how he put it. Their style of football is different to how others play. They expected it, so they didn't change anything. But I'm not really buying that because they did change stuff. They changed their own kick out and they changed the manner in which they were actually attacking the Monaghan players because they got hands on, they got tackles in.
Yeah, he's still maybe doing that in the first half. Tactics wise, they did it, but intensity wise, I think Shane O'Donnell alluded to it after the game. There was probably a bit of a kick in the hole for them there. And you could imagine that this, maybe Jim, a couple of home truths, the usual type of thing, you know. Are you guys getting ahead of yourselves as a team, as individuals? Is all this nonsense, obviously it's not come from Jim McGuinness, but around the country, around, maybe we are feeling a bit sorry for ourselves, where they just came out, and to a man, the performance, it was just, they got the running game going, Patter Mogan starts getting into the game, Owen Ball Gallagher, Michael Langan comes in, roars into the game with an unbelievable goal, Murphy starts getting back to dominating the game as well, and very quickly, they were managed to turn it around, but it was on the back of, to be too crude about it, just intensity and work rate. It was like, we're going out of the championship here. The whole season is out the fucking window here unless we get the finger out. And they did. And what it did, the disappointing thing from Monaghan's side is just for all their attacking praise throughout the year, the top scorers across all the divisions, and I know, okay, they're probably playing lower quality of opposition throughout the season, but their attack and shape just went completely out the window. Their decision-making started trying to force things really early in the game where they didn't really need to do that and just taking bad shots. Like, there were so many times in the second half. You know, Jack McCarron, they had to roll Jack McCarron early because McInnesby goes off injured, which
that was probably a big loss. Yeah.
Probably took a little bit out of their impact on Gabriel Brannigan's original plan to bring him in. He's been so influential in those final quarter. But he's kind of coming out getting hand passes around midfield. And you're going, we need you inside. You'd look, we were pit side. And there was times the Monaghan players would have the ball and there's no one inside the Donegal 45. And you're like, where's your shape and your threat to try and stretch this Donegal team? And that just seemed to go out the window. And they've been so good in terms of their attack. The structure they had, the depth they'd have, the shape, they create running lanes and just posing really difficult questions for their opponents. And that just seemed to go out the window in the second half. And that's a disappointing thing for Andy Moran, obviously, he's a forwards coach, and Brannigan, that we could do so well in the first half here, leave a couple of shots behind us, but still be 7 points up. And then it was just like a total systems failure. So it was a little bit of both. Monaghan definitely fell off, but it was on the back of ramped up intensity, full pelt Donegal. And when they're like that, they can do that to lots of teams.
Yeah, James, they went full throttle in that first half, Monaghan, and they obviously caused Donegal serious bother. How impressed, like, you hit me at one stage and said, that's football, when Kerry played that ball to O'Hanlon and he nearly burned the two boys for a goal. So, like, Donegal were on the ropes a little bit, but how impressed were you with their second half response?
Yeah, I thought it was phenomenal. Led by Langan, Murphy, Shane O'Donnell and McBrearty. I thought when McBrearty came
off
on
the bench,
McBrearty looked like
he
was outstanding.
Carried a bit of a knock, was he? Or
do you know, he did at one stage, he was back. He was back in his own defence, right? Yeah. And he had to do a Maz run. He had to run all the way up the field. And he pulled up. I said, McBrearty's gone, so here. But whatever he did, he stuck at it. He did all the simple things right. There was a couple of times where he got a handy ball, he slipped it back, and he just did those hand gestures, lads. Settle here, we'll work a score. Almost fucking work it back to me, and I'll get the score, because like he wanted it. Every ball he won, he did the right thing, kicked his couple of scores. I thought he was brilliant, like a leader that they needed. I still think everything went through Murphy. Every good thing, he had his hands on. He was winning it out in front. He looked so sharp and lively. When he went inside, he was doing the little darts to try and get those pop passes. And once he got it, he wanted a runner. He wanted to dish it. He didn't want to be selfish or get his own score. He wanted to set up attacks. And just for the Langen goal, that's exactly what happened. He just did a little run out to his right. A nice pass by Langen. Gave it back to him. And the finish by Langen was outstanding. And it was like the manner of it. The fact that he rifled it into the net.
Against Began, you know, big goalkeeper, like serious shot stopper. It was like, whoa.
Yeah, it was like a statement where now we have you. And that was the feeling in the stadium, to be fair.
Yeah.
There was a couple of great goals. Just two pointers, Kieran Thompson in the first half.
Oh, the double
kept him in it.
And it was like, you just need to have a two-point shooter. Jesus Christ, if Dublin could do anything over the fine lads, who could do that. Because Donegal weren't going well, and he came up that left peg, that beautiful left peg, for two monster scores into the hill. Big breeze there that weekend as well. Like, so
yeah, am I right in saying, Rian O'Neill kicks a two-point free into the hill, right?
Five up.
Kieran Thompson kicks two two-pointers. He hit the double-double into the hill. I think they were the only
Rafferty
two-pointers.
Rafferty got one, did he?
Ethan Rafferty got one in the hill.
Shaunie Shea gets two Shaunie from play.
Of course.
Into the hill. From the right-hand side.
But had the conditions calmed down by Sunday evening a little bit, because teams were struggling up to that, but O'Shea's were just absolutely ridiculous. We'll get to that in a minute. I want to get to Kerry after the break, and I want to get to Mead, but... can we just power rank the goals at the weekend? Because there was, like, Grugan took the goal exceptionally well. So we obviously have, in terms of the finishes, we'll go Conor Gray, Michael Langan, Rory Grugan.
Conor Gray is a fresh air before he puts in his goal. So I don't know if that's in the top three.
But in terms of iconic goals.
It was important. It's an iconic goal, a fresh air, and then bang on the rebound.
We'll get back to Conor Gray's impact in a minute.
Jordan Morris nearly scored a spectacular soccer goal into the top corner. What a save with Conor Gleeson.
That was reckless. Yeah.
But
what a player, Jordan.
Langan's goal was spectacular.
Yeah, it was. It was absolutely sensational. Right. We have a busy month. The All-Ireland semi-finals have been set in stone. The Tailteann Cup final. I saw a lot of Kildare fans were delighted that the Tailteann Cup final against Limerick is on the same day as Kerry against Tyrone. For some reason, they did not want to be on the same day as Meath. I don't know. I think there's something going on there. They don't want to be up on the same day as Meath. So Meath and Donegal are the following day on the Sunday. That's at 4 o'clock. I know a lot of Donegal fans have booked their flights down for the game or their trains. There's no train, obviously, but buses down for the game. And I know a few have booked their flights for the final as well. So best of luck to them in 2 weeks' time. And then there's obviously the All-Ireland Junior Football Final as well. Semi-final will be on the Friday, and the Junior Final will be on before the Donegal and Mead semi-final. After the break, we're going to talk about Sunday's football, because there was some sublime stuff after the second half, after the first half of Mead and Galway. That was a bit of a funny first half. But after that, the Kerry Armagh game, second half of Mead and Galway was brilliant. And just to remind you as well, we'll be in Croke Park in a little under 3 weeks' time for our road show. Sold out, I think. There might be two or three tickets left if you want to go grab them. And yeah, we can't wait for that one. And don't know who we're going to get, boys.
I'll cancel all the Dublin lads.
Line up the Meath. Line up the Meath crowd.
Hey.
If you don't get to the final from here after all your shouting, I'd be...
Come on, James.
I mean,
James, it would don't be doing me a disservice now. I've been coy. You know the real me, and I've been pretty quiet.
You've been coy. Fuck's sake.
You've been a disgrace is the only way to describe your behaviour.
Absolute disgrace.
Well, I won't be able to do break, the show. We'll
I'm
going to
be
this,
okay. I'm bringing the
Football Pod brought to you. Yeah, you should. Football Pod brought to you every single week by AIB. Proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. We'll be back after this.
OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Lads, that was the warm-up in the first half. Let's just get to it. The Royals, they've taken down Galway. For the umpteenth time this season, Galway were on the ropes. And to my mind, I thought they were going to have the answers. I thought they were going to do another rope-a-dope and come away with it. And that 2-3 in that spell where Meade had gone 5-head, and next thing Galway come back and take charge. It was seconds, James, that they absolutely disintegrated the Meath lead.
Yeah.
It was just, Sean Rafferty went off with an injury. It was a bit of a miscommunication there. Comer come on around the same time. Meath had just gone 112 to 9 points up. We might come back to that little burst in a moment. But Gleeson gets a kick out. Silk fields it. Hickey gets booked for nailing Comer. Walsh nails a 2-point free. A little over 60 seconds later, the Meath kicker goes over the sideline.
Finnerty, that beautiful hand pass, skip ball into Killian McDade, back of the net, goal, 112 to 111. Then they get the next point from a free after Darcy hits the post, and then a goal in the 58 minutes. So the whole lead evaporated between the 54 and the 58 minutes. And it felt at that stage, with Galway 212 to 112 up, that was that. Paddy, you were sitting beside me. Why didn't Galway get the job done?
We did. Like, when Conor Gray gets the goal, for me, you're thinking you were on their highest of horses then. And it did look like Galway had been so lethargic for the entire game up to that point. We come into the final quarter and just think, like I say, they've been down this road before and they managed to pull something out of the bag, but they were just, it was such a disjointed performance right from the off. They just never got going. Just so sloppy on the ball. This is like top quality players just going through the motions, sleepwalking through the game. And in 5 minutes, that burst, Galway showed the whole country, everyone's waiting on this. This is what these guys can do. Really direct. Like McDade, Comber comes on, kicks his point. McDade, just that power play running through. And when they get 3 points up, I thought that was it. I thought they're after fucking pulling this out of the bag again. But the, like, you have to give unbelievable credit. And some of the media players spoke about this after. The resilience to turn that around. Now, Galway fuck up a short kick out, which is, I just can't get over Galway, that all the size and physicality and specimens they have around the middle and outside of Keane Darcy just don't win kickouts. And it's incredible. Look at Johnny Marr, Matty Tierney, Conroy only comes on. Comer, to be fair, has been missing for a lot of it. But you have those guys, and Conor Gleeson is, his go-to kickout is just put it down and go long. And because they were getting absolutely cleaned, Conor Gray comes on and is like a man possessed around the middle for me, Tommy. Like, talk about a guy using his physique and his size, which Galway just don't seem to do at all. He just comes in and he's cleaning. He doesn't care who he's getting. Everything is going back to fucking next week. You, the ball, first, everything. So first one, Gleeson goes short with a kick out and they turn him over. So why would you go short when you've got these guys out there? And what Meade had was, outside the end, really well organised. The belief they have and what Robbie Brennan has done with that team and those players deserve unbelievable credit, because, to be honest, no one outside that camp would have them in this position. But they clearly believe it. But they have serious quality in Matthew Costello and Jordan Morris, that when the opportunities present themselves, and Morris gets off to a bit of a ropey start, Tommy. We were looking, I think he three misses his first three shots, but he just keeps the show on the road. He's so dangerous. And down the stretch, when Meade needed, when someone, either Meade or Galway, needed that little bit of composure, be clinical, Costello's pass, you're talking about Rob Finnerty's hand pass, Costello's pass, he could easily lash at that, try and be a hero. He sees Jordan Morris at the corner of his eye, plays it in, and Meade, fucking resilience to come back. When that game is won, they lose it, 3 points down, you think, for all the world, the whole stadium's thinking, Galway have pulled this out of the bag, but those players didn't believe that, and a phenomenal finish by them. 5 minutes Galway played, showed what they could do. The other 65, it was absolutely car crash stuff from them.
Mind-boggling. There were some
unbelievable underperformance from a team with that quality of player. You are scratching your head. How can those players produce a performance for 65 minutes of a massive championship game like that? And it was, I'm no skin in the game. I was frustrated looking at them going, what is going on with this team?
Yeah, they had loads of ball, Galway. Like, Thompson had all the ball in the first half, but it was like they were looking in and there was nothing doing. There was no one to go to. And it wasn't until Comer came on that he upped everything. He upped the physicality. He upped the just the sheer anything could happenness. Do you know, like, that he just set
a bit of chaos, a bit of intensity.
With me trying to come out of defence, he was the one tackling him. And then for the goal, he wins the ball down low to give it to Finnerty for that great hand pass. Yeah. He just sparked everything because he wanted the ball and he was moving and he looked for it and he wanted to do something. Galway just played as if their concentration was off. But that said, that's Galway. It's about Meath, because Meath have now beaten Dublin, Kerry and Galway, right? So we can't say it's ever about the other team. No, because it's about Meath. And in fairness, in Costello and in Jordan Morris, you have two absolutely top-tier players, I think. Yes. And the one that gets me excited is Jordan Morris, because he's an inside forward who has this trait of he's willing to make a mistake. In the first half, and even early in the second half, he was taking fellas on, and he was turned over a couple of times. Now, in a big game, you know, your teammates might get on you. The crowd might be like, oh, you know, they might be telling you not to do that. He kept at it, kept taking men on. Fearlessness, just kept at it. As you said, he had a couple of wides, kept shooting. Comes out of there with 1-6, and most of them, he got most of them when the game was there to be won. He was the one who took the game by the scruff of the neck. I thought he was outstanding. And it was that trait of, I've made a load of mistakes, I don't care, I'm going to do this again and again and again because it's going to work. It was like the trust he had in himself and the faith he had, and he dragged him through. And that on top of their aerial ability to pin a team in was what won them the game. And that's why they're so dangerous. I mean, they did it to Kerry, they did it to Dublin. Aerially, they can pin you and you can feel under serious pressure. And that, I think that was the theme of the weekend, that if you're caught on your own kick out, you're in serious, serious trouble, and Meath can put you in that trouble.
Yeah. Meath took off from the 46th minute. It was a so-so sort of a game. There was a lot of mistakes, a bit of nerves, a bit of pressure.
The first half was quality in it. Poor on flats. It was.
Like Rory Kinsella's point.
It was tight, but it was low quality.
For sure. Yeah. Kinsella's point stood out because you had this big turnover down underneath the Hogan and the Hill. And next thing, there's a kick pass to Costello, a kick pass down the line to Kinsella with the outside of the left boot underneath the stand. Yeah. And he cuts in off, sort of at the right, puts up points with the left. But Galway going one up. Meade come back into it. 46 minutes and 30 seconds, 9 points apiece. Meade take off. Conor Gray comes onto the field. This fella emerged during the Tatchin Cup winning campaign a couple of years ago. Had pneumonia last year, picked up a couple of big injuries. First kick out. He comes through Paul Conroy and breaks it back about 30 yards. Meade get a 2-point free that Billy Hogan misses. Second kick out, he comes through Matthew Tierney, breaks it straight to Rory Kinsella, leads to Morris Point. Then Gleeson goes short to Johnny McGrath, and Frayn very nearly catches him the way Rory Grugan caught out Dylan Casey. Conroy spills the ball in that attack as Gray is coming at him, turns him over, and it leads to actually a Galway attack to drop short. Next time, the next move ends up in the Conor Gray goal. Like, the impact this fella has immediately when he comes in. But his biggest play of all, I felt, he breaks another kick over at Darcy, but he wins one of his own kickouts late on in the game. When Meade have now restored their lead after the Morris goal, he makes that fetch when Billy Hogan needed somebody. And Meade having that presence was absolutely huge. And it's like, I don't know, James, we saw it in the Kerry game, and you mentioned it right there. If you can get on top, and you can boss the ball there, you've got such a platform to attack from.
100%. And I know it from even when we were playing, and when I started out, every kick out was long. So the corner forward was in the game all the time. I said, if a kick out's going short, you're out of the game. And like, oh God, the only way I'm in this game is if I'm chasing the cornerback around the place. Whereas if it goes long, you're on constantly. It's like you're busier. And I think Jordan Morris played off that as well. But do you know what's interesting about the kick outs and things? Joyce's lost faith in his big boys, right? He's dropped Conroy.
Why wouldn't he? They're just not performing.
I know.
They were wiped by Dublin. They were wiped by Derry at midfield. And it's like, they're not using their size. The most basic fucking thing. Conor Gray does not do anything exceptional out of the ordinary. He just comes in and has an attitude going, when that ball is in the air, I'm taking everyone out with it. And Galway just do not have that. I don't know what it is. Keane Darcy is the one who competes. Keane Darcy wins kickouts, even wins two big ones at the end, to be fair to him. But like, we were all season lads. Look at McDade, Tierney, Conroy, Johnny Marr, all these guys. The five or six lads are all over six. Peter Cook. How can you not use that physicality? And it's just, it's not rocket science. When the ball is in the air,
what are you seeing? Why has that happened to them?
Well, if you think, look, he's dropped Mike. These people that these excellent players that we've been saying all season who were going to compete for kickoffs, right? McDade was dropped. Conroy was dropped. He'd taken off Cook after 44 minutes. He takes off Tierney. So the proof is in the pudding, really. Like, it's not working for them. It hasn't at all worked. And when Meath competes so well in the air, Galway had nothing to turn to. And obviously, they get caught with the short kick out, but I think that under the new rules, if you're risking the short kick outs, you're playing with fire. We saw it in the Kerry game as well.
It's not Conor Gleeson's strength either. Short kick out's not his strength either. Like, And you but look at the personnel goal we have, they should never be going short. Like, Jesus Christ, and it's...
No, but to the dressing room, like, I can imagine the Galway players in a meeting or whatever, and the fellas I think are speaking are Conroy and McDade and maybe Tierney, and they're the fellas then that are just whipped off or dropped.
The chemistry was just off, Jimmy?
This year. He probably has to, but I'm saying, yeah, it
has
does.
To something.
Your leaders have to, we always say, your leaders have to perform, be there, because otherwise it eats away at the group. If otherwise fellas are looking around going, well, who are our leaders if he's taken off these fellas in the melting pot of our championship matches?
I think teams that are knocked out, they must be the most disappointed. Like, in a way, Armagh, okay, they've given up their All-Ireland title, but they were blown away by Kerry. There's nearly, like, it makes it a bit easier to swallow that defeat. Whereas that Galway team, name one Galway player that can come out off the pitch there yesterday and go, we performed. Anyone near the level, I know I can get to personally or collectively as a team. And when you lose a championship match that way, that's a tough one, particularly the journey that team have been on, near misses. And the big fear for them, you know, yeah, I don't like saying this, but you have to, has that group of players missed their opportunity to get to the top? You know, two finals and didn't get the job done. Felt they probably, it was there for them in last year's All-Ireland final as well. But their performances, not just yesterday, that's throughout the championship. Like you look, that game in Salt Hill, Dublin have like small enough players and they're out competing. That's all it is. Literally just aggression. Chip the ball up and aggression, and they're winning the kickouts over. Same up in Celtic Park with Derry. Galway could have been out of the championship 3 weeks ago, lads. But the performance yesterday was, Meade came in, and this is where the Robbie Brennan factor of Meade was, we don't give a fuck who these guys are. We let everyone else, nearly a bit of the old spite that Kerry showed in their performance, let everyone else outside this camp talk. They believed they were going to win that game. If you don't believe in that, you don't come back from being in a winning position and go 3 points down in the final 10 minutes and still manage to pull it out of the bag. And just the attitude, Kieran Coughlin, just milling lads. It's amazing to see. And if you have that, you've got a massive chance. And it's the exact, Galway just had none of that. Probably better quality of player, you know, on paper, the old fucking Donegal thing from 4 or 5 years ago. What a team on paper. But they have got nowhere near the standards they would set themselves throughout the entire championship. And when Meade needed it, do you know what, just the space, even the structure of Galway's defence, when Meade were winning these kickouts, Jordan Morris is like, couldn't believe his luck. The whole Galway defensive system just seemed to be out the window. Every time Meade got into their half, it looked they were going to score. And you would have felt that, Jimmy, there were times in your career, John, you're just hot. You know, just you have so much energy, like, give me the ball. These fuckers cannot handle me. Yeah. And Jordan Morris in the last quarter, every ball he gets. We were going to say it, they can just keep the ball and run down the clock here. And I was like, just give it to Jordan Morris. He takes his man on and goes through, fists it over the bar. He was just on cloud nine, the performance he took on
three of them.
We were like, keep the ball, keep the ball. And he's like, fuck this, I'm just going to score another point, lads. It was unbelievable.
His hop bounce is absolutely delicious. James, like, he's playing his football in the minute in King's Court Stars and Cavan. He would have grown up in North Meath and we'd all have been aware of his prodigious talent. I would have known him when he was a kid as well. Like, he had 133 scored in the league, right? He was flying it. He was in the form of his life. And he gets that injury, right? And it looked like it could be a season ender. Like, it looked like it could be 18 months, even longer. And, like, coming back from something like that could be... It could be making, like, you mightn't come back the same player. You might not, like. And he seemed to get a bit of a break in terms of the manner in which the injury transpired. He makes a miraculous enough recovery. In the last four championship games, he's come on and won and he started three. He's only scored 1-6 and he ends up with 1-6 yesterday. It's a fella whose career flashed before his eyes. He's just grabbed it now with both hands. And I think that's the team of that Meade team at the minute. They really don't want to let their careers.
What age is Jordan Morris? He's around the world.
I'd say he's 23 or
23.
He's a bit old. 23 is old. Wow. He's
like, Kieran Coughlin is 21. Rafferty's in his first season. He's 23 or 4.
Rafferty. Do you know what? A moment in the game which was so inspirational was when the ball was kicked to Conroy. Just around the middle of the field, and Rafferty.
It was Johnny Maher.
And Rafferty beats him out to it.
You should have heard the noise, James.
Yeah.
James, you should have heard the noise.
I nearly went deaf sitting beside fucking Tommy Jimmy. He literally fell off the seventh floor when Rafferty hit him.
there was more noise for either of the goals when Rafferty made that hit. And I've told you before, you can have David Clifford, Donegal can have Michael Murphy, Tyrone can have Darragh Canavan. We'll take Sean Rafferty every day of the week. Fullbacks are what Meath football are made out of.
Well, what he did was he was up with him side by side, getting the hand in, and he left him on the ground and off they went again. Like, that is inspiration. Now, the only thing that I'd be slightly worried about Meath, and it's just the fact that they haven't been around here, around the latter stages before, and it does make a little difference. And it's that I sat here and this fella getting all star now. This fella getting all star. It's that talk, right, is so dangerous because it takes 2% focus off fellas. It's like, geez, I might get this, I might get that. It doesn't matter a shit. The most important game of your life so far. So I say so far because they're going to be back here. But like, the most important game is coming up. Forget all that. That'll take care of itself maybe later on. But I don't let that seep into the group or even think about it. It can soften the hardest fellas.
Hey, and that word is a fairly triggering word in GA circles. We know it ourselves, given how it's been uttered in this pod in the last few weeks. Do you think there is a danger that a young team like that, who are being just moving in this direction on that journey and are fully aware of their own, I think they're aware of their own limitations. I think they are aware that they're on a journey and that they weren't ready to win that Leinster final against Louth. They didn't perform as well. I actually don't think they performed as well as they could have in the Galway game for large stretches, but responded. Do you think there's a danger of that, James?
There's always a danger when you're there the first time. You don't know how fellas are going to react. You know, your family are, but they're on the ride with you as well. They're buzzing and you have to be so isolated. You have to be a horrible person around this time of the championship. And that's a skill you learn. And once it happens, it's easy. But I mean, like, it's a skill you learn after a bit of time. So like, ability wise, I think that Meath have a right chance. They have that momentum behind them of all the team. Like, look, even someone like Crystal Palace winning the cup, you know, like, they have this momentum behind them. All they need to do is go and grasp it, play with no fear against Donegal and give them a great chance. And they've already beaten Kerry. So if Kerry were, they'd have that if Kerry were to get to the final as well. So, I mean, they're in a great position, but they just need to not focus on any external
Jimmy,
rubbish.
That's where Robbie Brennan sets the tone for that. And everything he says, the impact he seems to be making on that team, because we're looking from the outside in. I would be amazed if he allowed that type of thing to come in. And players like Donal Keoghan, these guys, legendary players there, have been around the block before. It's an incredible opportunity for them. And the way they just seem to be embracing the challenges that are coming their way, I actually don't think that will be the issue. Now it's the first time for a lot of these players in an All-Ireland semi-final. I think Robbie Brennan, everything he's saying, even the conversations with the media afterwards, they're in an unbelievably good place. And I'd be surprised if they were kind of emotionally hijacked going into this game and they delivered a flat performance. The big thing, the Leinster final, for 50 minutes they did perform. They were really, really good. They just ran out of puff in that final 20 minutes. But Robbie Brennan referenced it yesterday, and Rory Kinsale as well, talking off the ball, referenced it. It was like, yeah, we learned from that. It was a tough defeat. Really, it was a massive opportunity. We said it at the time for Meath or Louth to get their hands on silverware and what that does for a team. But the reference goes, we learned from that defeat. And you can see they're putting that edge and that little bit of attitude into their performances to top their group and then to deliver that yesterday. The most impressive thing for me was they were in the winning position and then they were gone within 5 minutes. And a lesser team, or a team that really, everyone says they believe and we do all this, if you don't really, that's when you'll collapse. They were 3 points down. Galway had all the momentum. But this Meath team kept fucking hounding this Galway, that Galway team, and got the rewards. They're in an unbelievable place. And I think Robbie Brennan has that team and just the attitude in that team exactly where they want them. I think they're going to give Donegal their absolute fill of it in 2 weeks' time as well.
Yeah, we'll probably build up to that game again and it'll be a lot of fun. What we saw in the final of the four quarterfinals on Sunday afternoon, I'm not sure, lads, and maybe, Dublin second half against Mayo, I think in 2019, where Conn scores 2 goals and they score 2-6 and they blow them away in the third quarter is referenced a lot. But I'm not sure, James, I've seen a team put together as efficient and as frightening and as domineering at 15 minutes as Kerry did, from being 6 down in the 48th minute to the 55th minute, when I think they kicked their 14th score in a row. There was a couple of two-pointers in there. I think 12 out of 12 shots went over the bar. They won 8 out of 11 kickouts. It was like you were at home watching this one, weren't you? You were up in Dublin on Saturday working at the game. It was Edie's first, or it was Sophia's first birthday on Sunday, first week. So you're obviously watching it back home. What was it like watching that performance back home?
It was a proud day, I think, for Kerry supporters, because obviously the team has been written off, and it was kind of written off from within a bit. You know what I mean? Even the Kerry supporters are questioning where the team were going with the injuries and all. Obviously, Paddy and Paul Ganey weren't going to start. Dermot O'Connor was gone with the shoulder. You're talking about three of your very best players there. And obviously, after the Meath game, there were question marks. But that those question marks lit a fire in those Kerry players, which was needed. It had to be lit. And it stirred something in Sean Shea.
Unbelievable.
And Sean Shea is always kind of an inspirational player. He leaves it all out there. He's all action, all work, defensively and offensively. But like, he kicked 12 points. 12 points against Armagh, reigning All-Ireland champions, in a game where Kerry had to deliver. I just thought it was unbelievable. He led from the front, because if Kerry had a poor start, you know, then maybe all the question marks might start coming into your head. But Shawnee didn't let that happen. He put him on the front foot, kicked over the couple of two-pointers, and off they went.
Yeah.
And that's
right from the very start, Jimmy. Right from the very start.
The
reactions after the scores, fist bumps. It was like fucking John Milan for Waterford hurlers. Just see there was an edge about Kerry. All the question marks we had about them, it was like, I'd say that camp was some buzz for the last 2 weeks leading into this game.
Yeah.
That it was, you could see the energy of the performance literally from the throw-in. And Sean Shea was, he hasn't been at his best, guys, and injuries and all that type of stuff. We know how high his ceiling is. But that performance, like 10 from fucking play, it was incredible from him. Unbelievable performance.
But it was like, how did Armagh? You're talking about one of the best shooters in the country. And they didn't shut him down at all. Even when he was after getting a couple of two-pointers, they didn't even go about changing anything. It was surprising.
Can I ask you, I have a little theory here. Did Armagh defend David Clifford and Kerry like they tried to defend them in the 2024 semi-final?
It's a different game. I think they did.
They dropped off into their shape. They got Ross McQuillan to double back. Yeah. You know, like they tried to cut off their 13 channel.
The same thing happened McElroy in the league game in Tralee, where Armagh didn't, they actually didn't defend the sides well enough. And in the second half, Paddy came on, played wide. He actually played wide left and kind of wide right. He was playing on both wings. And Joe kicked into it on the 12 slot. And Kerry got at them down the wings. And if you can get in behind them on the wings, it allows for those cuts back into the centre. And even there was another goal chance for Kerry when Dylan Gailey goes over in the square. I think the pass was meant for David from Paddy. But like, Kerry were rampant, absolutely rampant. And the efficiency, do you know, like, Kerry barely missed a shot, right? It just proves how hard it is sometimes to get a high scoring efficiency. They were only at 75%.
Wow.
Now, I say only, but like, it seemed like everything they touched went over. So it just proves like how difficult it can be sometimes to get that really high percentage. But like, they needed it, because every score was like a dagger in the back of Armagh. And Armagh's kick out just went to pot. Went to pot. And that was the one, I put my hands up. It was the one thing I was worried about with Armagh's size and physicality. Could Kerry compete aerially? And they must have done some work on it, because every single kick out that went out, they were getting their hands on.
Like, Grimley and Creeley are taken off for Armagh. And you have to give, like Shawty Shea is going to get all the headlines, and rightly so. He scores 12 points. Cliff comes in, a little bit of magic, 7 points. Sean O'Brien, Mark O'Shea, Joe O'Connor the second half.
Graham O'Sullivan. Don't forget Graham O'Sullivan.
Serious reservations around my whole thing where you're thinking Armagh would win this game. That middle third and the aggression and the energy required, particularly without Dermot O'Connor. But those guys, like Kerry 1-15, just stood up all over the pitch. Every question mark you had over them, it was like Jack O'Connor was nearly feeding it to them, ramming it down their throats. They don't think you can do this. But those guys around the middle absolutely eviscerated
the, you know, the strength, one of these absolute key strengths for Armagh. You're talking about intensity, runners from deep. You know, Gavin White scores 2 points for play. Brian Begley scores 2 points for play. Graham O'Sullivan won 2 points. Michal Burns, the impact off the bench, he comes on and kicks 2 points from play.
And it he fetches a kick out.
That was the most impressive one. When Burns is, he must be 5'8" and a half.
He's only a little fella. I mean, he got him in your pocket. It's like you, Jimmy.
Yeah, he plucked it. Like, he literally got up, plucked it, and off they went again. Like, you know they're at it when that's happening. Because usually it'd be a case of Burns, stay down, get the break. He goes, no, I ain't going up and I'm competing. And he came down with it. Like, those small moments are inspirational.
But all over the pitch, every, like, Jason Foley going out after Ryan O'Neill, it was just aggression. Stuff, the question marks over it, we hadn't seen that from them. And, okay, they win the league. When the Munster Championship was a fucking non-event. We just hadn't seen Kerry play at that level. And I have to say, I did not think that group had that ceiling in them. We know David Clifford is incredible and the talker, other players need to stand up. Not just Sean, he's across the pitch, the scoring threat, the efficiency, the quality, Party being back. Like, it was that 20-minute performance. That second half when they go five down after Ryan O'Neill kicks that free, and the stadium was kind of going, okay, this is what we were all kind of expecting coming in here. And the turnaround was, it was as good a performance I have seen from that Kerry team since they won the All-Ireland in 2022. And even that team, I don't think, reached the quality and the intensity and the efficiency that Kerry played at yesterday. It was an outstanding performance. Get to Armagh, like, talk about an experienced team, like, just kill some momentum here, lads. Like, don't just keep fucking chipping the thing out to them as well. Like, when you're, the whole thing is just collapsing. Like, it's felt like they just had a total brain freeze. As good as Kerry were, it was like, you know, McGeaney team, how well coached they are, how well prepared they are. Rafferty, exceptional goalkeeper, just like, just chip it short. Someone go down with the classic head injury here. Stop the momentum here, because it was, in 10 minutes, the game was gone for them. 5-8 down. Exceptional from Kerry, but Armagh will look back at that period and just go, a team like them, how they could allow that to happen to them. Just total systems failure.
Yeah. But, you know, defensively, it does show that without those extra few bodies, and we spoke about it earlier in the year, so many defenders are not comfortable. You know, like, there's less bodies for safety, and when the ball is dry and it's Croke Park, there's no hiding place. It's such a forward's field. It's an advantage for the forward. And, like, a couple of scores that Clifford got were just outrageous. My favourite one was the Armagh kick-out, and it falls to Graham O'Sullivan, and he looks down the line. In half a second, just kicks down the line. Now, you might think that's not a great pass, kind of down the line, putting Clifford maybe away from goals.
But any pass to Clifford like
that,
is
a forward pass. Like that just wants that ball. He wants that ball because he has to jump to catch it. So, worst case scenario, he's getting fouled. He's going to get pushed in the back. But if he doesn't, then it gives him time to turn. And he gets turned and he throws it over. And it was just an unbelievable score. And those inspirational scores, Kerry have them. They have them in the locker. Like, so, they're going to be.
Even David Clifford was fist bumping. He's doing the double fist bumps to the crowd and all. It was just. Yeah. And this was like 50 odd minutes on the clock. And he's normally very cool, calm, collected. It was like just epitomise what Kerry were about yesterday. And you know what, lad? We've said this before. All the stats, all the analysis, all the preparation and all the mind the ball, stay in control, all that stuff. Telling players or telling the team that they're shite has some impact. That chip on your shoulder is still so important in sport.
It's so important.
Even at the elite level, you think, oh, that's for, you know, pub teams and stuff like that. Kerry arrived in there and that was a performance of absolute spite from Jack O'Connor, from those players. It was like, you fuckers, wait till we show you what we can do. And it was Armagh yesterday. Any of the other seven teams over the weekend, if they came up against Kerry in that form, would have been blown away as well. It was that little bit of chip on your shoulder. Fucking hell, it does count for something when you have it.
I thought it was interesting, James. They had the C11 recovery truck in with the ice baths outside the dressing room. So they were ready to rock. They knew they were going to be back in 2 weeks' time. I thought that was a nice little one. And they were getting in and out of them as I was trying to catch one of them for a post-match chat. And Graham O'Sullivan very kindly popped over for a couple of minutes. And we had a nice chat with a couple of interjections that we might talk about again down the line. But, like, as Paddy is saying there,
the satisfaction in that spell when you're proving maybe what you're seeing in Killarney Stadium or what you boys know what you can produce yourselves in a group, you know what you can do. Obviously, they will have to park it and move on and get ready for Tyrone. They'll do that very quickly. Like, the draw was made as the Kerry players were coming out of the dressing room and crossing over to the hotel. The draw was being made and they were passing by us. And I let a few of them know over my shoulder, Tyrone. All they did was nod and say, all right, perfect, and kept walking. Wasn't going to faze them, whoever they were facing. But the actual satisfaction of delivering on that, can we just luxuriate in that in a minute? What's that like when you all click in that flow state and it all just comes together?
Well, it must have been some feeling for them, because I spoke on the other part about what it would be like maybe to be in that huddle before they go to Croke Park, and with those question marks, with the doubt, and with maybe questioning each other, and with maybe they had to have a tough meeting and tell each other a few home truths. That's powerful. But then going up and delivering, and that feel good factor of, yeah, we know we have it, we were right. And look, we've developed a few new players and we're looking even better than maybe we thought we were. And you know what? It was a tip of the cap to the new rules as well, because 32 points in Croke Park against what you would say is a solid defensive unit.
It's the
Ireland
champions.
It's
the Ireland
champions.
It is.
32. It's
so real. When I saw 3-0 up under, when I saw 30, I was like, I don't think I've seen 30 points kicked by a Kerry team in a long time.
They kicked it against Clare, and I think Tyrone put it up against Cavan. But yeah, in Croke
Park.
Did
they kick it against Clare with goals, or rather than...
No, I'll get a few in a minute, but it's been done twice this year.
Yeah, it's like to kick that in Croke Park, I just thought was outrageous. But the feeling for them after, it must have been... I can only imagine that it would have had to be downplayed again, which is it's just the nature of the beast. They would have gone into the dressing room, a couple of high fives, and next thing, lads, well done, but I'm sorry, no, there's bigger fish to fry here. Let's forget about this. We're on to semi-final. Get some grub, get your recovery, and down the road. And I think there's enough leaders in that group to do that. And the way Sean O'Shea spoke after the game, it really did seem like he's a great leader in that dressing room. I think they have a couple of those, which you'll see them through. Just what is a downside for Kerry after the weekend? Tom Sullivan came off again, I think. I think it's a calf injury again. It's just such a recurring injury, and you could just see he was dejected. Yeah. It's another injury to the Kerry
Evan
camp,
Looney,
which is just a bit
Evan
of a donut.
Looney making his first start, and he came of age. Like, some of the Kerry boys really came of age in that game, and what a boost that must be.
Yeah, and again, it was another thing that was said, that maybe Kerry don't have the depth. Again, look, there's more games to play. I think that those fellas will take such confidence from that. And Jack will remind them that they've delivered
to rush Paul Gainey back as well, Jim.
Yeah.
You know, if they were struggling, maybe they have to bring him in and try and force a game into the cut end of a situation. But Dermot O'Connor were probably brought back a bit too soon and he's knocked the niggle. So Gainey, for him, here's an extra 2 weeks. And what's he going to be like? He wants to be involved the next day as well. But you said it, when you put in a performance like that, where all the talk and all the preparation before, but to go out and deliver it in that style is just, it's why you play. That is that feeling, you know, and I know it's not a final, so you can't luxuriate in it too much, but I'm sure some of those Kerry lads on the bus back home yesterday evening just had a moment to themselves, and it's just like that feeling of just satisfaction. Just for 5 minutes, just going, take a breath and just enjoy it. It's why you play. It's why you do all those things, to go out and put on a performance in a massive game like that. It's a special, special place to be. And they'll feel that. The big challenge, and I agree with Jimmy, you've teed it up, and look, Kerry are very Jack O'Connor experience they have. It's not going to be a major issue, but can they replicate that level of performance? If they get to that level again, they'll win the All-Ireland, lads. The other three teams cannot get to that height. Donegal at their best. That performance, nobody can match that level. But can Kerry match that level again, get back to that height? I don't think they'd probably need to get to that level to get through against Tyrone.
You don't think so? You don't think Tyrone have another level to get to themselves?
I think Kerry at their best are too strong for that Tyrone team. But this is the thing, yesterday's performance was outstanding, but on the show last week, we were talking about Kerry have the capacity to play quite poorly as well, and that creates its own challenges. But their ceiling, that performance yesterday was a performance for the ages in the second half, and the confidence that will give that team, it's
for sure.
You have them as front runners now.
It does.
One else can play to that level. It was incredible. It was beautiful to watch as just a Gaelic football fan. It's gone, fucking hell, this is stunning stuff.
I don't know what I have to my head of Donegal yet.
Jimmy, or Tommy, at that level, that performance, no team.
Oh, no, sorry. That was, like, well, honestly, I've never seen...
replicate that for the next two games is very, very difficult.
I've never seen a spell. I've never witnessed or experienced a 15 minutes like it. It was breathtaking.
Perfect. Like, it was perfect.
But I do think it depends on who. It's not a case of who wants it more, simple as that. But, like, you got to play with that unbelievable level of passion that Kerry showed. And, like, it's when you're questioned personally and as a group that it brings out that anger in you. That's what Kerry need to get back to again. And again, just like me, there's going to be taps on the back now for those Kerry players. Now, they're more experienced at dealing with it. And they're, I mean, fellas like Shawnee Shea and David Clifford have had so many pats on the back over the years that, you know, it'll be water off duck's back, literally. But, like, they have to just get to that level again, get to the pitch of it again, because Tyrone are going to be waiting for them, and they are going to get to that level. There's no doubt about it.
For sure. And James, like, I just thought, and we were obviously commentating on the game, it's probably a different experience. I watched it back afterwards. The savviness of the Tyrone side, like, they have so many players from their 2021 All-Ireland winning side that are still involved.
I know, but it's a different game, Tommy.
It's a different game.
I mean, it's night and day. It's a game of attack. It's a game of absolute balls out attack and kickoffs. Okay. That's the two things it is. Whoever can sustain attacks, have a high conversion rate, win a few kickouts, wins.
Tyrone will want a lot more from Darren McCurry and Darragh Canavan.
100%.
You know, I'm their biggest fan, exceptional forwards, but they've been a little bit off it the last couple of weeks. And if Tyrone are going to call it, because it will be an upset, Kerry will be favourites for this game. They need those guys red hot. Big pluses for them, you know, Matty Donnelly and Peter Hart. They've got what warriors and just control. Just, we won't do it. Well, we have the ball, nearly the role Murphy plays, but with Donegal, we have the ball in our hands. Everyone else can kind of chill a bit. And Kieran McGeary is getting back towards the form we know he has.
Yeah.
And then these two young lads coming off the bench, Rory Canavan and Michael Holm.
As you said, Paddy.
Into that space, it's...
they've got...
a handful. A little bit of sugar.
A little bit of sugar.
What a game. What a game it will be. What a game.
Before we go, though, I just want to have a word on the All-Ireland champions, Armagh, right? And I think Tyrone have had their warning in terms of how Armagh dropped off, and we spoke about the defensive shape and the amount of space they left for the shooters outside. I actually thought Conor Gainey had an outrageous amount of space as well. I know Paddy comes in from, and maybe the shots didn't drop for Gainey, but, like, those chances are going to be there if a team drops off at any level. If you've got the shooters to take advantage, I just don't think you can set up and defend like that anymore.
I agree. I think if you have individual forwards and they're hot, there's literally no stopping them if they get the ball. But that's my point. You have to stop them getting the ball.
Yeah.
You have to do the work out the field and in those aerial duels and on those kickouts. I think that's where the time has to be spent. In Robbie Brennan's interview, actually pre-match against Galway, he was asked, "What have you done in training?" And he said, "Kickouts. We've just tidied up kickouts, kickouts, kickouts." And I think that it's going to come down to that. If you can get your hands on primary ball, you don't have to defend. You're the one on the attack, and you're putting the opposition keeper under pressure by getting a shot off. So that's where it's going to come down to. Kerry have to get to that level in the air again, and maybe that's the area that Tyrone will focus on, to try and early win the ball, slow the game down with those long attacks, which are also very hard to stop, and kind of take the sting out of the game, like they did against Dublin.
Yeah. Kerry didn't really tie down Oisin Connerty either. I know you can't tie down everyone, but Connerty, I thought, ripped him apart
six
a couple of times.
Play.
He's an unbelievable form. So, like, I don't know, is that something that Kerry needs to look at?
121.
Yes.
Still got wiped. You know, so it wasn't like... That's what it's disappointing for them, because they just ran into an unstoppable force in that second half. But they were point up at half time, having not really been at their absolute best. They went five up in that third quarter, and they'd done a lot of things right. And to score 121, you're thinking Kieran McGeaney would have been like, yeah, we might take that. That might get the job done here. 24 points could be enough. But they just ran into an absolute machine. In a way, it might be an easier. It's always hard coming out of the championship, our man. No doubt, we're looking to go back to back, but
Just shows you, Paddy.
That Galway team, like, there's an underperformance. Dublin, underperformance, just not getting the most out of the tools at their disposal. Armagh did a whole pile wrong yesterday. Just blown away, though.
Just shows you how difficult it is to defend an All-Ireland title. Dublin obviously did it 6 times. Kerry have done it a couple of times. The last team outside of Dublin and Kerry to defend an All-Ireland title, who was it?
Cork or Meath?
Meath.
Cork, 89
and 90. Meath, 87, 88.
There you go. So it's not easy done. So hard luck to Armagh, to Monaghan, to Dublin and to Galway. Their years have ended. And to Tyrone, Donegal, Kerry and Meath, fair play to yous. You roll on to semi-final weekend. We'll be with you on the Football Pod over the next couple of weeks to talk all about it. And remember, what we never got a chance. Last Wednesday, after we recorded, there was all that hoopla in Mayo. Kevin McStay was relieved of his duties, and it was very dramatic. So we might save that for the Members Pod this week, and we might talk through some of the managerial changes and maybe a few more of the tactical moments that arised. Andy McEntee has stepped away. David Burke. Yeah. Tony McEntee, who the Conic Telegraph.
Down as well.
The Catonic Telegraph have 3 pieces up at the minute. They have Ushi McConville as the favourite for the Mayo job. They have now Tony McEntee is apparently the county board's choice. But they're changing it every single day.
And what are my odds for the Mayo job? Am I in the betting for that as well?
I'll get you priced.
I'm 20, out of 20 for the Mayo job.
James, I think there was a little bit of a fear around the country of how I might behave on this pod. Was I okay?
You were. Uncomfortably okay. I think you want to let loose, like you want to, but there's nobody here from Galway, so that's
there was a few little bits at the start where I could see your teeth run right on the edge. Yeah, but I think you managed to keep it together relatively well. I must say, Tommy, yesterday in Croker, I was delighted for you.
What was I like?
Quite measured. Now, I was slightly hungover as well, so maybe I wasn't taking as much in, but why would you not be happy? What an incredible time to be made. Gaelic football sport. Tough few years, but to be back in the mix, back at the big table, taking out some of the big teams, it's exciting times. Fair play.
I got very excited a few times. Got excited when Conor Gray came onto the pitch.
You did.
Got excited when Conor Gray broke that first kick out.
You did. I got excited. In the shoulder. I was like, Tommy, I don't need that. Like, come on. So I'm trying to have a little snooze here. Like, come on.
Paddy,
Rafferty's hit on Johnny Marr. You were big. Yeah. And Tommy crashed the GA Plus party on Saturday night.
Jimmy, I didn't realise. Paddy texted me.
You waiting for free pint.
It's a free pint, is there? I was like, we're over in the hotel. It's like, is it free? And I was like, fuck, I'll have to talk to him.
Hugh Hurricane obviously looked after us. In the board's head as well.
Of course,
so.
As always.
Only had the one. I was out for a run the next day in the Phoenix Park.
I was in Phoenix Park at fucking 6 o'clock the next morning as well.
Were you? I actually bumped into
Hugo.
In the middle of my run, bumped into an old teammate from Meadhill, Jason York, who was running himself topless. I'll have
Yorkie.
You know. Yorkie, yeah. So I spotted him a mile off. I know this guy, and he followed up through with the run. So listen, apologies if I've wound anyone up. I'm not sorry.
Great excitement to you're entitled to it.
Exactly.
Timmy Moynihan was lording it for in the press box yesterday.
Yeah, no Ambrose.
No Ambrose.
No, missed him. But gas man. Delighted. Why wouldn't you be, lads? Your teams get through grand performances like that. Enjoy it. That's what it's all about. Could be worse. Could be fucking Dublin.
I think I whispered it last week. And we'll be back on Wednesday with the Football Pod Member Show. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, see you later.
Good night, friends.